This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, it's hump day. You have officially crested the peak of the week and life is good. We have so much to talk about tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. We are going to discuss why the Democrat Party lost men. They are cratering. There is all kinds of new audio out there. And we're going to discuss that divide. Where is the disconnect? That'll be fascinating. We are also going to discuss, and this is going to be heavy, and I still haven't even decided at this very moment what I'm going to start with yet. Are we still a country? Yeah, I'll get into that in a little bit. Apparently, we have some kind of a deal with China. Is that going to bring manufacturing back? I don't know. The Democrat Party, their love of foreigners, the CCP using Harvard and other elite institutions as recruiting grounds. Quantum physics is a lie. The Beach Boys' Brian Wilson is dead. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I have to decide in this moment whether we're going to start heavy or whether we're going to start light. I have standing before me a feminist and a horse jockey, and I have to choose between one, and I'm in a fantastic mood, so I'm going to choose light first. Well, it's news of the day stuff, but lighter, because that question about do we have a country is going to be a big one, and I'll get to that in a few. New poll came out today, Quinnipiac poll. The Democrat Party approval rating is 21%. The disapproval rating is 70%. That's flirting with non-existence as a party. Those numbers are, well, I'll be honest, those numbers have never been seen before. In this kind of polling, that's beyond belief to have numbers that low. And I want to bring this to the military and men and what has happened, because I'll go ahead and give him some credit for this, because he's the one who kind of gave me the idea for where we are, and more specifically where the Democrat Party is. I was speaking with Bill Jacobson. You ever heard of Bill Jacobson? Super sharp guy. Have you ever heard of Legal Insurrection? It's one of these great legal conservative website. Bill Jacobson is a law professor at Cornell, one of the last conservatives left in the university system. And Bill and I were having a discussion, and we weren't discussing the Democrat Party, but we were actually discussing the university system itself. Because I don't know about you, but I have noticed, it's noticeable, the change in young people in this country. It's not just poll numbers that we read all the time. Young people are moving to the right. And the younger they are, the further right they're moving. I honestly, the 20-year-olds are moving to the right, and the 12-year-olds are further right than the 20-year-olds. They have had enough. The young people who always get dogged on, oh, kids these days, they are further right than my generation, my parents' generation, and their generation after them. They are hardcore. They're going to make me look like a friggin' softy. So because of that, and because I've seen more right-wing activism on college campus, I asked Bill Jacobson, I said, Bill, is college getting better? And he said, well, yes and no. He said, the students, on the surface, the students, the activism, The crazy left-wing activism is definitely turned down from what it was. The right-wing activism, again, about the students, is turned up. He said, Jesse, I'll be frank with you, because he knew I wanted to hear something good, okay? And he knew that, and he kind of eased me into it. He said, I'm going to burst your bubble here. The universities themselves are as bad as they have ever been, and they are getting progressively worse day by day. And I said, what? I don't understand. It feels like this woke left wing, whatever word, cultural Marxism is what I call it. It feels like that stuff is bottomed out. It feels like we're rebounding. And he said, yes, Jesse, but understand this. You have to understand how it works inside of an organization. In the university sector, when it comes to the professors, the people who do the hiring, the firing, all these people, they are further left than they've ever been. And because they're further left than they've ever been, they are more aggressive at purging any right-wing thought than we've ever seen before. So they're gaining strength. We are losing ground. And the new hires, if you are even slightly on the right, you are considered unhirable, gone, completely gone. Bill followed it up with Jews in particular. He said, by the way, not just right-wingers, Jews can't get hired now. Especially if you're a pro-Israel person, you're gone. Like, goodbye. Nope, gone. The university system is moving, radically moving in the wrong direction. And so this will come back to the Democrat Party in a second. So I said, okay, well, how do we fix that? And he said, well, Jesse, this is the problem. Once you get there, once it's completely ideologically captured with no other dissenting voices at all, it becomes impossible to reform from the inside, because who's going to reform it? What administrator? What professor? What? Those people don't exist. You have purged them all. Once you completely capture any entity, a company, a university, whatever it is, once it is 100% captured and conquered, where's the reform going to come from? Let's make it religious. Let's say you had an island, 100 people on the island, and 75 of them were Muslims, 25 of them were Christians. And through a series of reforms and whatnot, the Muslims were gaining strength and gaining strength. And as they gained strength, they isolated and purged the Christians from employment here, from this neighborhood. You can't live here. You can't live there. And so eventually the Christians would either leave or be killed or imprisoned. And soon you have an island of 100 people, and 100 out of 100 of them are Muslims. Who's going to spread Christianity? Nobody. It's gone. On that island, it's gone. That's what has happened in the university system. Now to the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, they understand. They can read numbers. They read poll numbers. They understand young people hate them. Men hate them. White people hate them. Blue-collar people hate them. They get that. By the way, the blue-collar thing spans demographics, spans religions. Blue-collar men despise the Democrat Party. It's not just, by the way, natural-born citizens. Legal immigrants despise the Democrat Party now. Despise them. They are looking at all these numbers, and they know they have to win back these groups. But I don't think they can. I don't think it's possible. I'm going to play something for you. Now, keep in mind, this is just one little tidbit from today. Her name is Loretta Sanchez. She's a Democrat member of the House. She's questioning Scott Bessent. We have some Scott Bessent for you. We'll play it for you. But she's questioning him today. I want you to listen not only to what she says. I want you to listen to the crowd's reaction. And as she's talking, and as she corrects him, and as she interrupts him and then informs him not to interrupt her, I want you to picture, not you, you're already hyper-informed, you're already involved. I want you to picture normie dude, 20-year-old dude, 25-year-old dude, trying to find a job. Maybe he's got one, working his way up. Feels like Democrats kind of hate him, but he's not really political. I want you to picture 20-year-old dude tuning in. Maybe he's listening right now, and he hears this.
In fact, we've already seen that prices are rising on many everyday goods.
Congresswoman,
please don't interrupt me. The time is mine. Please don't interrupt me. I will ask you questions, and I will grant you an opportunity to answer them, but please don't interrupt me during my time.
With pleasure.
Okay, I know I'm a woman, but please try to limit yourself to answering my questions. No, I'm sorry, but we get talked.
I know I'm a woman. Immediately. These are people inside of the House of Representatives, and you could hear it was audible. Oh gosh, here we go. It was audible in the crowd. They did the same thing you did when you heard it just now. Oh gosh, here we go again. And she can hear it. She can hear the reaction. But they are so captured. Who's going to be the one to pull Loretta Sanchez aside and say, you can't talk like that anymore. You're never going to get dudes to vote for us again if you keep talking like that. We'll continue along these lines in a moment. Let me first inform everybody that Fred had a very tough day today. Fred really doesn't have good days for the most part, unless every member of the family is surrounding him and giving him physical affection. Fred is generally pretty stressed, but today it was extra bad because we had all these contractors in the house, and Fred just didn't understand why he couldn't go up and investigate everything. It was a tough day for Fred. And on days like this, Fred used to have digestive problems, big ones, messy ones, the kind that involve paper towels and spray bottles and rubber gloves where you're holding your nose on the floor. The stress was still there. The digestive problems were gone because we sprinkle Rough Greens on Fred's food. Fred needed help. He needed digestive enzymes. He needed probiotics, vitamins, minerals. Fred needed help. Rough Greens is going to make Fred live longer, and it fixed his digestive problems. Start sprinkling Rough Greens on your dog's food. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, a fantastic Wednesday. Put a smile on your face. We're almost to the weekend, kind of. We're more than halfway. You can email us, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Is the Democrat Party so captured by insanity? Have they purged so many normal people from their party that now they've gotten to a place where they cannot reform? In my house, you know that I eat cheesesteaks and pizza. That's how I eat. My boys, they're boys. They want steaks and cheesesteaks and pizza. Ob, she wants vegetables. Healthy stuff. Is that organic? That's what we get. Because she's there, we get vegetables. We have fresh fruit. What if she left? Took off with Trans-Siberian Orchestra or something like that. She's a big fan. What if she took off with Trans-Siberian Orchestra? How many vegetables would get eaten in the Kelly household? Well, who's there to advocate for them? The Democrat Party. They can see numbers the way you can see numbers. They can read the way you can read. They know they've lost blue collar. They've lost men. They've lost this. They've lost. They know this. And yet they don't seem to be able to correct because there's nobody, no voice left loud enough to correct them from the inside, completely captured. And remember, all the media they consume, these are not people who go home and listen to the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. They go home and watch MSNBC. They go to purely left-wing universities. They exist in a communist bubble and can't see out of it. Pete Hegseth spoke at Fort Bragg. I want you to listen to something.
We're not a college or a university. We're not interested in your woke garbage and your political correctness.
That wasn't a political rally. That wasn't a bunch of Republicans, Democrats. I will tell you from experience, most of the young men I was in with, including myself, we were not really political at all. At all. And yet, he says that, and it gets cheers. At the same time, Senator Tammy Baldwin got to interrogate Pete Hegseth about changing the name of the Navy ship. You know, the one named after Harvey Milk, the LGBTQ activist. This is what she asked him about.
You chose Pride Month to direct the Navy to rename a ship named for Navy veteran Harvey Milk. This committee will continue to pursue serious work in the interests of American national security, and I ask you to choose to join us in that endeavor.
Senator, we're not interested in naming ships after activists. That's the stance we're taking.
Even if you're the biggest Harvey Milk fan in the world, which I doubt anybody really is, but let's say you just love Harvey Milk. Did he write a book? He probably wrote a book. They all do. Let's say you read his book and you're a fan and you read everything he ever wrote and you're just a Harvey Milk super fan. Even if that's the case, young men don't want to hear that crap. Young men don't want to go serve on a Navy ship named for a gay rights guy. They don't want to do it. They don't want to hear it. And you don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be a right winger. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be you. If you're just a normal 17-year-old dude, that's something that turns you off. You don't like it. You don't want to hear about it. And when you join the military, you don't want to be scolded about how much America sucks and how gay you should be, unless you're in the Army. But you understand what I'm saying. You don't want to hear any of this stuff at all. And they know it, but they can't change it. A party that has completely lost the plot, and I'm not sure it can be reformed. I'm not sure they can do it. We're watching right now all these riots. In case you can't tell, I'm kind of tired of talking about the riots. I debated whether I'm even going to bring it up tonight, which I will because it's in the emails, but all these riots. The riots got so unpopular so quickly, the communists in this country started pleading with the protesters to stop waving Mexican flags. They're so lost, they'll just walk right into burning a cop car and waving a Mexican flag and then turn around and go, oh, was that unpopular? No way. Headline, 59%. Approved Trump's deployment of National Guard and troops in Los Angeles. 60-40? You can't find a 60-40 issue. Every Democrat in the country is on the 40% side of it. I don't know that it can be changed. I don't know. Maybe they have purged the last of the sanity, and this is just what they are now. That's the good news. The bad news is, we're going to discuss a country. What makes one? And do we still have one? Before we get to that, let me get to your company. You see, finding a good employee makes your life so much easier, doesn't it? Isn't that the idea? Someone to make your life easier. And a bad one, the one you go home and complain to your wife about, just drags you down. It's soul-sucking. It's awful. But how do you find a good one? All these turds out there now, where do you even go? Half of them don't even show up for interviews. That's what ZipRecruiter's for. You know that ZipRecruiter uses matching technology? All this top talent, they're already on ZipRecruiter. They're waiting for you. The smart technology pairs you with the best talent. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody on the first day. You're not months away. You're a day away. And yes, that rhymed. I did that on purpose. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris bringing us back with the Beach Boys there in honor of Brian Wilson. Beach Boys co-founder passed away at the age of 82. Prayers to him and his family. I am a huge Beach Boy fan. I always have been. I love all their tunes. Wish him, well, I guess I can't wish him the best. That doesn't make sense. But hoping his family is okay at this point in time. Now, on top of that heavy news, let's talk about something. And this is just some verbal vomit coming from me. Just bear with me here. But I was brewing on something. The riots are kicking off. And I don't know whether they will ramp up or ramp down. I don't know. Right now, it looks like they're going to try to turn it up. But I was thinking about this. I'm starting to get emails from people around LA. Got an email. I'll get to it in a little bit. People around Atlanta. The riots are coming. People are concerned. And I'm thinking about California in particular, but this applies to a lot of places in the country. So the situation is that one of the two political parties in the country, because we only have two major political parties, one of the two major political parties, they believe in bringing in as many foreigners as possible. They'll tell you till they're blue in the face that those people are actually the ones who built the country. They're the ones most important for the economy. They'll not only bring in as many foreigners as possible, if an effort is made to remove these people from the country, they will spend millions of dollars and activate street groups to prevent the deportation of these people. But wait, there's more. The elected political leaders in these states, from top to bottom, from governor to mayor, from top to bottom, the elected political leaders will stand shoulder to shoulder with the illegals while our citizens are being crushed, punished, assaulted, their jobs taken. I think about what Gavin Newsom said.
Look, this isn't just about protests here in Los Angeles. When Donald Trump sought blanket authority to commandeer the National Guard, he made that order apply to every state in this nation. This is about all of us. This is about you.
I think about what Karen Bass said.
We are a city of immigrants. We take pride in the diversity in our city, and it is my job as the mayor of Los Angeles to protect all Angelenos, regardless of when they got here, why they came, or where they came from.
I think about what the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, said.
Look, I remember a few stand-ups ago when I talked about what terrorism looks like. This is it. There should be no question to what our country would look like had the Confederacy won. We're seeing it on full display.
I'm going to ask you something, and it's heavy, so I'm going to try not to stay on it very long because I'm not in a heavy mood, but I was in one this morning as I was thinking about it. So just something for you to think about. And I'm not taking a position either way, but it's on my mind. Are we still a country? Do we still actually have a country? I mean, let's understand what a country is. A group of people, whether it's states or provinces or whatever, whether it's just a tribe, a group of people choose to live together for protection and prosperity that comes with that. The group of people, in order to do that, they have to share common values. And then if everything works out that way, right? Okay, I'm going to live with you. You're going to live with me because we have common values. We get more protection because we stay together, prosperity because we work together. Hey, we should create a government that reflects those values. Okay, let's create a government. I mean, that's how nations form. And that's how nations stay together. If there are gigantic pockets, roughly half of the United States of America, that stand really, look, they're not even shy about it anymore. They stand with the trannies. They stand with the foreigners. They stand against Americans. How much of a country do we have left? And it's not that I'm saying anything is hopeless or anything. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the United States of America as a 50-state country, does that still exist, or are we lying to each other? Are we pretending what was still is? There are people listening to the sound of my voice right now afraid to leave their homes, and they're not only afraid to leave their homes because of the riots, they're afraid to leave their homes because of the riots and because they know if they leave their homes with their families, with their wives, their husbands, their children, and if they encounter, let's say you leave your home, let's say you're in Los Angeles County right now, and you throw your wife and your three children in the car, and you are trying to get out of town, and on your way out of town, you are surrounded by a mob of 20 illegals from El Salvador. You are in a situation where if you drive over them, if you pull out a gun and shoot them, if you do anything other than be beaten and killed, you are in a situation where your government in that area will arrest you and not them and throw you in prison for the rest of your life and separate you from your family. That's not a place that's a little liberal. That's a separate country. Tell me why that's the same country I live in. I live in blood red rural Texas. I know the police department well and the sheriff's department in my area. If you, no matter where you're from, American, El Salvador, whatever, if you started pounding on my window with my family in the car, attempting to make entry, I would blow your freaking head off. And I don't even know that I would be questioned more than 5 minutes by the local police. They would show up, laugh at his dead body, take a statement from me with my attorney because I'm not a moron, and I'd be home eating a Little Caesar's pizza in about an hour or two. That's the United States of America. Does that country still exist in all 50 states? I don't know that it does. And that saddens me. It saddens me a great deal to know that I don't know that we have 50 states left, a 50-state country left. What similarities? And you remember, because of why a country is founded and why people choose to stay together, the whole common values thing. How do you share a country with people who want your daughter beat up on the volleyball court by a dude? Where are the common values? Where's the overlap? Is there any? And I'll put one more question on it, and then we're going to move on. We're going to do emails. I want to do a bunch of emails tonight. Should we still be a country? If you argue we are, okay, I can't argue against that. Again, I'm not sure how I feel about it. Should we be? If there is a state, even if it's our largest, most powerful state, that has declared itself to be the friend of the foreigner and the enemy of the normal citizen, should that state be part of America? I'm not so sure. Anyway, probably a decent time to learn about the rise and fall of the Roman Republic. I think it would be a really, really good time. Hint, hint, wink, wink. For you to learn, for me to learn about the rise and fall of the Roman Republic. Hillsdale will teach you about it for free. Did you know that? It's one of their 40 free online courses. They have one about the rise and fall of the Roman Republic, and you watch this amazing, powerful republic for a variety of reasons, and mass importation of foreigners being one of the main reasons, you watch this republic break up. Civil war. Tyranny. Probably worth looking into right now. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Maybe bone up on that one tonight. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. There's no cost. Remember, there's no cost. I'm not selling you something. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right. One more word on this. Are we still a country? I know that there's plenty of countries still for you and for me, for normal people. But as a 50-state United States, are we still a country? This is the police chief of one of my favorite American cities that is so lost now, I don't even know what to say. This is Seattle's police chiefs.
Let me be clear. The Seattle Police Department does not engage in immigration enforcement activities. We do not inquire into or collect information about an individual's immigration or citizenship status unless it is directly connected to a state or local criminal investigation. This is, of course, the sole responsibility of the federal government.
Not just some random, crazy, new commie recruit police officer. The police chief of one of America's major cities issued a public announcement that he's not worried about your immigration status. Do we still have a 50-state country, or are we all just pretending? You know, I brought up at the beginning of the show the how captured the Democrat Party is, and I brought up the conversation I had had with Bill Jacobson, a college professor, about universities and how they can't reform from the inside because there's no one left to reform them on the inside. And what I didn't mention was he followed that up with this point. He said, so what Trump is doing by attacking these universities like Harvard and whatnot, people may not like it, but it's 100% necessary because the only way, the only chance you have at reforming the university, it has to come from the outside now because the inside's gone. Where does that leave us as a country? Maybe you're uncomfortable with troops walking the streets of American cities to try to protect federal agents, which is what they're there to do. They're not there pulling people over for traffic tickets. They're there to protect ICE agents. Maybe you're uncomfortable with that. And I get that. Totally get that. I think it's a bad look too. But if Los Angeles's mayor has announced that she's not going to do it, and California's governor has announced that he's not going to do it, you have these places where the police chief says he's not going to do it, then what choice do you have? I know it's an ugly situation to be as a country. It most definitely is, but it's worth having these conversations. Whatever, let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, I believe they will shift the riots from city to city, staying a day or two ahead of federal intervention. It's a sweeping national riot. Okay, well, I'll take it one step further. I don't know where we're going to go. As you're hearing the sound of my voice, what time is it here? It's like 6:55 Eastern time, something like that. Well, Chris, I'm not on Eastern time. I'm not a math major. I don't know. Whatever. They're still burning. Multiple cities across the country. Multiple National Guard units. Trump has very wisely taken control and activated them wherever he sniffs trouble, and he's bringing them in. But here's something we don't talk about a lot, but we've certainly discussed it before on the show. Let's talk about military matters. Let's talk about flat-out combat. Let's talk about that wonderful Napoleon quote, one of my favorite quotes of all time, quantity has a quality all its own. Great quote, right? When you think about it, that's a great quote. So let's make it from our perspective. What have I said before? That in Washington, D.C., in the Secret Service, there is something that is known. It's not talked about publicly, but there's something that is known. You want to know what it is? All those guns, fighter jets at your disposal, everything. If there was ever an actual armed insurrection and people wanted to get into D.C. and take out Congress or the Senate or the president or any of that other stuff, and God forbid that day ever comes, but let's say people wanted to, they could, and there was nothing that would stop them or barely slow them down. Well, no, they would send in the Marines. There aren't near enough Marines. They would be mowed down and run over immediately. There are too many guns, too much ammunition in America for the military to handle, for every law enforcement agency to handle. It's an overwhelming number. Overwhelming. A number they can't deal with. You simply can't deal with it. That's why I laugh when people say January 6th was an insurrection. If there was an insurrection on January 6th, we'd have a new government, period. If the American people ever wanted to have an insurrection, the government could not stop it. The military couldn't stop it. Secret Service, cops, FBI, nobody could stop it. There are too many guns, too many people. Quantity has a quality all its own. Now let's flip that to the real dark side of it. How many people did Joe Biden bring in? 20 million? How many times did you and I sit here and have a discussion about the demographics of those people? Every time you'd turn on the news, every time you'd read about a migrant caravan, all young men. Young men. Oh, I realize there are some women, some children, but the overwhelming majority of them, and not just from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Guatemala, we're talking from dark places, darker places, Afghanistan, places like that. Young men, young men, young men. Millions of them. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not. But what if they decide they're not leaving? Do you know what chance 2,000 National Guardsmen would have? None. Oh, but we have 700 Marines, infantry Marines, 2-7. Look, I'm very familiar with 2-7. I was in 1-7, exact same duty station, 29 Palms. They were right next door to us. I did same thing. Oh, they're tough as nails. Oh, they'll take a lot of people with them. Millions of young men? A battalion of infantry Marines would be a speed bump. Look, I'm not saying that. I don't think we're going there. Please don't get panicked and think that's what I'm saying. But this is what happens when you import millions of disloyal foreigners onto your streets, many of them very, very, very bad people. All right, enough of that. We are going to talk a little bit about the IRS, more specifically the government, and the strategy they use to manipulate us. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.